starting the shy over here. So in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the first pasuk starts our introduction, and we'll go like this. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amos. This is the vision of Yeshaya, son of Amos, Asher Chaza al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, who saw visions about Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Bimei Uziyahu, Yosam, Achaz, Chizkiyahu, Malchi Yehuda. In the days of Uziyah, Yosam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, and Menashe, the kings of Yehuda. You notice Menashe is not here. It's because Menashe, his own grandson, ended up killing him. And that's why Yeshaya does not mention in the beginning, or it wasn't mentioned in the beginning, that he saw these visions during Menashe as well.
And he's not seeing a Navi when...
Not he stopped. He was a Navi during Menashe's time, but Menashe was not worthy of being mentioned of it being in his time. That's going to be it. Now, who was Yeshaya? What ended up happening? Now, Ben Amos. Amos and Amatzia were brothers. Amos and Amatzia were brothers means Amos and Amatzia, who Amatzia was from the king, from the Davidic line. Amos was also from the Davidic line. Yeshaya was thus related to the kings. He was not directly related to David HaMelech, but he was, to David HaMelech he was. He wasn't directly related to these kings, but indirectly related, a cousin, first cousin, second cousin, twice removed, whatever it is, he was related to him. Yeshaya was a Navi who was really the only Navi that we know of at the time for Malchus Yehuda in the middle of all those kingdoms. We know of many Nevi'im that were there for Klal Yisrael. We don't know too many that were working on Yehuda during these times. During Yeshaya's times, Malchus Yisrael was kicked out by Sancheriv. Sancheriv had exiled the 10 tribes and they were completely lost. Yeshaya spent some time even trying to bring them back. Trying to go and bring them back if he could.
Before Yirmiyahu?
Before Yirmiyahu went. Right? We'll see. Yeshaya was not successful in bringing too many back, but we are going to talk about them as well. Okay, we're going to see that as well. So these are the people that Yeshaya was involved with. Unfortunately, comes to an early death. His nevuos were all about impending destruction. We're going to see there were basically about 10 different times where he prophesied, and they are not, of course, in order. They aren't in order at all. But we're going to see like what he did. We're going to see his form of nevuah, mishalim, and things like that, which we're going to see all over the place. Now, and the way that he started becoming a Navi was there was an earthquake in the times of Uziyahu. Uziyahu decided when he was the king that he wanted to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. He took the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and went in to bring in the Ketores, right, which was usually reserved obviously for Kohanim, but especially for the Kohen Gadol. When he had that arrogance, that type of gaiva, immediately an earthquake struck. Okay, that's what ended up happening. Now,
Did he get swallowed up by it?
I'm sorry? No, he did not. He got Saraf on his forehead. The Kohanim chased him out and he lost his kingdom. At that point, Yosem came out. Now, Yeshaya renounced the materialistic society of his day, turned his back on the pomp and pamper of nobility and the royal court to devote himself to become a Navi. That's what he ended up doing. He went around completely. Later on, when he asked HaKadosh Baruch, when he hears HaKadosh Baruch saying, who am I going to send to the people to go tell them they're doing something wrong, he was the one that said, I am willing to go, send me, right? Micha went already, and he was slapped. Amos went already, and he was ridiculed. Yeshaya, you have to understand, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people are going to make fun of you. You're not going to be accepted. People are going to hate you. If you're willing to be humiliated and be beaten by them, then you're allowed to be the Navi for Klal Yisrael. And Yeshaya accepted that, and not only that, he was willing to be Dan Lachaskos. He was willing to see the children of Israel as if they were doing something in their mind which was right, and he was able to do that. As soon as he said that, then it was going to be good.
Why is that such a big deal to be Dan Lachaskos? Everybody has to.
Well, yeah, but when the people are that evil and they're not accepting a Nevuah from you, right, then maybe you could say, well, these people are too evil, they can't accept that. But he was willing to do it anyway.
Why did he want this job?
He knew that this is his job in this world. He understood that he was good for that. He was given a choice. And he understood that this was what he was really supposed to do. You can't force you to do something which you're going to be
made
fun of.
That's that. Not a terrible life.
You still get to speak to God, which I would assume is pretty awesome. Right? But nonetheless, you are going to be made fun of, and the materialistic world is going to be hard for you.
It's going to surprise him the fact that it's going on time people are living in the world.
Yeah. And all of a sudden they're going to hate you.
They're going to be like, oh yeah, you're right.
Well, there were Nevi'im in the past that they did listen to. Eliyahu Navi, remember, there were times where he was listened to. Elisha as well. Some people did listen, but he was not going to work so well.
Yeshaya or Yirmiyah? Who had a harder time?
Yirmiyah was worse because of all the, you know, the people who just...
And he saw the destruction.
It was the end, and everybody... It was worse people at that time as well.
But they were alive at the same time.
Yirmiyah was later. Mm-hmm. If he died by Menashe, remember, after... Oh, I don't have my list of kings anymore. But after Menashe, there were another five kings until the end? Six kings until the end? How many do we have until the end from Menashe on? We got... Oh, gosh, I hate this one.
Go to the side.
I'm trying. I'm looking. My gosh, I know. It's good. No, it's good. Menashe, then Amon, then Yoshia, then Yoachad, then Yoyakim, then Yoyachin, and then Sidkiah. So there were one, two, three, four, five, six. Six kings, although two of them served for only 7 days. But that's what it ended up being over here. Okay. That's not so bad altogether. Here we go. Yeah, 7 days. Or 7 months. Maybe 7 months. Yeah. All right. Shimu Shamayim Hazini Aretz. Now, listen to this. Connects with Hazinu. Listen, O heavens. Listen, O earth. Ki Hashem Diber. God is speaking. Bonim Gidalti Beromamti Vehem Pashubi. Yeah, it's good. Right? Gidalti Bonim Gidalti. I've raised children. Beromamti, and I've exalted them. This is Bnei Yisrael. Vehem Pashubi. Yet they have sinned against me. Chazal compare Yeshaya to Moshe Rabbeinu in the different ways that they prophesied, how they prophesied of Bnei Yisrael. There are six different things that are similar. This is one of them. That just like he, by Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, Hazinu Hashemayim Vadaber, right? Over here he says, Shimu Hashemayim Vazini Aretz. Now the pshat is, Yeshaya said the opposite. Hazinu Hashemayim, but over here it's Shimu Hashemayim Vadaber, Shimu Aretz, but Vazini Aretz. What's the pshat? Moshe Rabbeinu was close to the heavens and far away from earth. Right? That's what he was. While Yeshaya was closer to the earth, right, and far away from the heavens. Shema is to hear from afar. Hazin is to listen from up close. So Hazini Eretz is you can listen to me right here. Shimu Shemayim, listen to me, O heavens. While the opposite by Moshe Rabbeinu, Hazinu Hashemayim, listen to me because I'm up in the heavens. Shema Eretz.
Well,
that's the idea behind it. Yes.
Context also was different. Moshe Rabbeinu was sort of speaking from Shemayim, but he was getting them prepared.
Well, specifically Hazinu was written for punishments. What was going to happen when they were going to Golos? And therefore, it's the same concept here. He's telling them what's going to happen when they go into Golos, because that's what they're about to go into. So it is the same thing. And so too, these are the Edom. The Shemayim and the Aretz are the Edom for Klal Yisrael. When they do good, this is what happens. When they do bad, this is what's going to happen. So that's the similarity between them. The famous line, the ox knows its master. The donkey recognizes the owner's trough. Yisrael lo yada ami lo yisfonan. But Bnei Yisrael don't realize that I'm the one giving them everything. My people have no idea. They don't understand that I'm the one there. Animals have instincts. They're willing to do certain things. But Bnei Yisrael are not going, not only are they not going with their instincts, but their instinctive nature to believe in God. They're arguing with it and going against it completely. It's like an ox that refuses, or a donkey that refuses to eat what its master is putting in front of them. How can you do that? And for that, you're below animals right now on Kadosh Baruch Hu, below the people. Hoy goy chote. Whoa, you sinning nation. I'm Kevin Avon, a nation that is completely filled with sins. Zerah Arayim, children that are evil. Bonim Ashkifim, children that have destroyed. Ozvos Hashem, you have forsaken God. Niatzos Kadosh Yisrael Nazor Rachor. You have gone against the Holy One of Israel. You have turned backward from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You were a people that were filled with Kedusha, with good things. But now, you're just filled with evildoers and there's nothing left. You're burdened with sin, the whole thing that you're carrying it. You became so demoralized, you don't even realize how far you've gone. And forsaken God means they ridiculed the Torah, they made fun of the Torah and its different laws. Al-Mesuku Od, what more do you need to be hit? O-Tosifu Sara, you'll only continue turning away. Ko-Rosh L'Chaliva Cholivav Davoy, all your heads are filled with sicknesses, all your hearts are filled with sadness. You caused it on yourself, and you allowed yourself to be filled with this. Pasuk Vav, Mikap Regel Vad Rosh, from the foot all the way up to the head. Ein bo misom. There is no part part of you that is whole. Petzavakaburo makatria. You have wounds, you have hits, you have fresh wounds. Lo zoro v'loku bashavaloru kakavashemen. They are not going to be bandaged, they are not going to be smeared, right? And they're not going to be softened with oil. That's how much it's going to be. It's interesting over here, he says, from the physical aches, he says, from foot to head, right? That if you haven't sought out healing, then what else are you going to do? And if the pain is going to you from the bottom of your feet, where I started off with your feet, to be able to hit you little by little until finally it's going all the way up to your head where you can't even think straight anymore, what else do you want me to do? I've gotten your whole body already, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What else can I do to you? And not only that, but you complain. Why are we being hurt? Why are these things happening to us? You know exactly why it's supposed to be that way. And after that, the only thing left is to hit the souls. That's what's going to be. The other way of looking at this from feet until head is referring to the poor people all the way to the rich people. Every single person is being hit, no matter what they're doing. In Pasuk Zayin, Arzcham Shmama, Arecham Sufos Eish. Your land is being desolate. Your cities are burning in fire. Admaskam Lenegdechem, Zorim Olchem. Your land that's opposite you, strangers are eating from it, Osa. Ushmama Kemapecha Zorim. And it's destroyed by other people, by strangers that overturn it. The Nosra Bas Tzion, the daughter of Tzion is going to remain Kesuka Bakaram, like a little booth in the middle of a vineyard. Kemeluna Bemiksha Kir Nitzura, like a watchman's hut in the middle of a field, like a besieged city. Lula Hashem Tzvakos Hosir Lanu Sarid, if not for a Kadosh Baruch Hu leaving us a few survivors, Kemat Kistoma Yidol Amorah Demidu, we mamash would be like Sodom and Amorah. That's what then Eretz Yisrael is going to look like. Meaning Yeshayah is looking into the future and saying, this is what it's going to be like when Nebuchadnezzar comes in by the times of Golos Babel. He is going to come in and he's literally going to burn everything down. The foreigners are going to come in and take over all the land, and you're going to see the ruin. It's going to be completely destroyed. And if not for the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you a little bit of help, he left Gedalia ben Achikam and a couple people around, it literally would look like Sodom and Gomorrah. And also, it's going to be a gradual process. It's not going to happen in a day. It's going to be little by little by little, meaning there's going to be Golos Yoyachin, Golos Yoyachin, and then finally Golos
Yoyachin. So they can do tshuva?
Exactly. So they'll realize what they've done wrong, they'll be able to work on themselves and bring themselves back, and they still didn't do it. Still wouldn't do it. Remember, by the way, this is what was happening at the time as well, during the times of Chizkiah. Ashur came not once, but twice. Ashur had already exiled the other nations. He had exiled Reuben, Gad, and Chatzi Sheva Menashe. Then he had exiled all the 10 tribes. And then he had exiled parts of Yehuda. And then he came to Yerushalayim to go fight it. And remember, then he had to go to Cush, Eretz Cush, who was starting a rebellion or Mitzrayim. And then he came back, and that's when he was going to take it over. Shimu Dvar Hashem Kitzini Sodom. Listen to the word of God, O officers of Sodom. Pretty good, right? Kisdom Ayinu, you are like Sodom. And then he calls them the officers of Sodom. Hazinu Torah Eloheinu Am Amorah. Listen to the Torah of God, people of Amorah. Lomeli Rosi Chesam Yomar Hashem. It's not about your korbanos. Why do I need you to bring me korbanos, says God? Savati Olos Elam. I am satisfied with, or fed up, I guess is the right word, with the Olos of rams, the Chelev Marian, and of the fattened cattle, you know, the fats of them, the dam parim, and the blood of the cows and kvasim, and the lambs batunim lokapatsi, all that stuff, the goats. I don't want all that. Kisaboli rose panai. When you come to see my face, mi bikeshos v'yekam romos chatirai. Who asked of you to trample over my vineyards? I don't care about these mindless rituals that you're just going about and doing what you're supposed to do. Don't daven to me if you don't know what you're doing. That's really the line that he's saying. Why bother?
Sorry. Why do we have all these rituals?
Well, it's very difficult to get yourself out of them, right? And especially when we hope that eventually people realize what their davening is all about. But it's more the rituals of bringing a korban in which you're going around.
That's my question. Why?
Oh, why do those?
Lamali, why? I mean, he's saying, obviously he's saying that the korban would only come after you are good, decent people.
And you've done tshuva and you worked on yourself, yeah.
I guess we're going more into the big question of like why, but I mean, he's saying like as if it's like, yeah, korbanos are really nothing.
Well, now they are, because people are just bringing korbanos, think that's all you got to do. Korbanos can be done as a way to bring you close to Hashem if, like the Ramban says, you see the animal as yourself. The blood of the animal is your blood, and the animal being burned is you being burned. It's as if sreifa, skila, herig, chenek is happening to you. Obviously, the herig and the chenek by killing the animal, the sreifa by burning it as an ola, the skila by throwing it down on the ground in order to shecht it. All those things are happening, says the Ramban, it's like you're watching yourself die. If you look at yourself that way and you see it as that, as the animal being that way, then of course it's a good thing because that knocks you down. But if you look at the animal as just like, well, I'm just going to kill the animal's dead, I'm good, I'm perfectly fine, and like a Hail Mary, so to speak, and that's that, you know, a couple Hail Marys and I'm done, then of course I could have said, I don't want these rituals, I don't want that.
Today, for example, we have tefillah instead of these rituals.
Yeah.
And to be honest, most people don't really know all the tefillah is like really well. I mean, especially when you're younger, like you're just told you have to do.
I hear you. I don't want to go into the whole education system.
No. I'm saying that you go to soul. Like people, a lot of people go through the motions or maybe change the tune and they sing along.
No, you're right.
But who's really thinking
that,
about their,
there's a little bit of a difference between korbanos and tefillah. And it's that even tefillah, you're sort of like still talking to God, even if you don't know really what you're doing. At least you're still talking to God.
Right.
Like a korban though was totally different. These people just shucked the animal, allowed it to be brought up, and it was just you spent $50. Oh, $50 for a goat? Done. All right, I got my kapara. I'm good. That's what they would do.
That's even
what?
I can do that there.
No, you can do it. Yeah, because you think like that's all I got to do. That was the problem. Well, tefillah is a little bit different. It's still. I agree with you. I agree with
you.
Better.
Put your
money where your
mouth is. Right. Basically, you know what? It is right because now that I just like I say the words, but I don't do anything, it's still not good because now I'm not even doing anything. All I'm doing is I'm saying. It's really better if you do both, right? But I couldn't. I definitely don't want the mindless rituals. That I don't want. I don't want you doing things just because you think that's gonna be it. So that's what he says. Pasuk Yud-Gimel, Lo Susifu Havi Minchas Shav. I don't want any more minchos, meal offerings that are brought of falsehoods. Ketoris Toeva, he leaves. This incense is an abomination to me. Chodesh V'Shabbos Kro Mikra. Right? I'm Shabbos and I'm Rosh Chodesh. You're calling upon me, Lo Ochal Oven Batzara. I cannot stand the corruption of everybody getting together. Think about it. These people got together. If you weren't into these things, it probably was more of a cause of sin than anything else. That people would get together, they'd have a party, they weren't making brachos beforehand, they weren't making brachos afterward, they didn't treat the kutchim with the respect that they deserved. They probably were eating at bituma, right? And getting together with gatherings of men and women that were improper, you'd imagine that that's the type of thing where I could have brachos, like, what's going on?
Sin that it would got them exiled, that they were giving korbanot to not treating kids.
No, but this is like, this is a simen, not a siva. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's not the reason why they were kicked out, but it's a simon that things are going wrong. If you're not realizing what you're doing wrong here, that's what's wrong. As he's saying, Chod Sheikham Mawadeikham Son Nafshi. I despise your Rosh Chodesh and your Mawadim. You guys have a holiday and you get together for your holidays? I'm listening to your conversations. It's full of garbage. Alayla Torah. It's a bother for me to even be there. Nilaysin is so, and I'm tired of bearing them, which is really sad. Like, I hear you guys talking about the bears the whole time. I don't want that at my yabdi table.
That's
the line.
They were celebrating holidays like Avodah Zarah. There's a little bit different.
Oh, yeah, agreed. No, nobody treats the bears as a god.
That's
no, agreed with that. There's no one that treats the NFL. You know, there's an amazing article that just came out. A couple weeks ago, I don't remember what it was, where a guy said, because all these things are going on in the NFL and all these things, he decided to boycott the NFL. He said he felt like an addict in a 12-step program. He couldn't do it. Everybody around him is talking about football. Every news station has a football story. He said, like, he didn't want to hear anything about it, and he literally felt like he was in withdrawal. That's what it ended up being. So, okay. Anyway, that's the idea. So it says, Uveporishchem kapechem, when you guys lift up your hands to the heavens asking me to help you, right? Alim einamikem. I have to hide my eyes from you. Gam ki sarbut tefillah, even when you add on your tefillahs, ein eni shomea, I can't listen. Yedechem dami meleu, your hands are filled with blood. You're filled with absolute blood. I not even murder, but just embarrassment or stolen stuff or whatever it is. I can't listen to you anymore. I literally can't listen to a word you're saying.
Even if it's genuine?
I think that's part of it. They weren't being genuine. They weren't. And I know you're not. I'm looking at you, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. I know you're not. Rachatsu hizaku. Wash yourselves off. Purify yourselves. Asiru roam aleichem. Remove the wickedness of all of your deeds. Me neged einai from before me. Chidu areya. Stop doing evil. You have to do tshuva here because I can't keep this anymore. You're dying. Lindu heitik. You have to teach yourselves how to do good. Dirshu mishpat. Search out justice. Look for judges that know what they're doing. Ashru chamot, set right what you've done wrong. Shiftu yasum rivo amana. Judge the orphan well and fight for the widow. Do all those things and be consistent, really, and learn. Understand what you're doing wrong and what you have to do. L'chunav nivokha yomar Hashem. Let's go and set things in the right way, says God. In that way, if your sins are like red thread, kashalag yobino, white and everything like snow. Nimiat dumo katola. If the red is worms, or whatever you want to call it, scarlet thread, katsemer yiyu, I'll make it as white as snow. Trust me, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, I'm willing to let this be. In tovu shmatim tuvor tzochelu, if you do listen and you're willing to listen to me, then you will eat from the good of the land and everything will be fine. Being tumaanu umarisem, but if you refuse and you rebel, cherev teuklu, then you'll consume the sword. Kipi Hashem diber, that is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Pasukav. Pasukav Aleph. Echa haizta lezona, we'll see you soon. Echa haizta lezona kirya lemona. How could it be turned into a zona, absolute prostitute, the true city, the real city? Milesi Mishpat, the one that was filled with righteousness, Mishpat Tzedek, Yomimba, they stay in it, Ka'atam Aratzim, and now it's filled with murderers. Meaning that's the idea behind it. Now, I don't know, but maybe it's that B'nai Yisrael is considered like the unfaithful wife, right? That's what it refers to. Echa Haisal Zona Kiryan Amana. How is the city, right, become almost like a zona in which you're worshipping other idols, obviously, going the other way?
The exact opposite of a city that does Mishpat Tzedek could not have, you know, somebody murdered or anyone, they'd literally take care of. That's like the worst crime. The exact opposite of a city that has Mishpat and Tzedek would have murderers, which is, you know.
And that's true. So now we're mentioning two things so far. Number one, we have zonas that are on the Gili Reis. Number two, we have Maratzim. That means we have murderers, okay? Pasukav Beis, Kaste Chayil Sigim. Your coins, your money, has become like Sigim, like the garbage little pieces of silver. Saveich Mahul Bamayim. Your wine is diluted with water. In both cases, we're dealing with stealing in some way, shape, or form. You're making your money in improper ways, in ways that are you know, cheating. Cheating in some way, shape, or form. One of the ways of cheating is that they used to mix the wine with so much water, so they ended up saving on the wine, and they sold it as, oh yeah, yeah, it was 3 cups of water and 1 cup of wine in each, you know, in each thing. When really you put in 4 cups of water, 5 cups of water. You just added on water, so you diluted everything down a little bit. Chav Gimel, Sorayach Sorin, your officers are corrupt. The Chavrei Ganavim, they're all a band of thieves. Kulo Oed Shokad, they love taking bribes. Rodit Shalmonim, they chase after tips. That's Shalmonim over here. Yasam Lo Yishpotu Riva Manu Lo Yavo Aleihem, they do not judge favorably the widows and the orphans, the ones that can't have. When your leaders are the bands of thieves, where they're giving it to the highest briber, stuff like that, then you don't go. I was told about a certain, there's a paysden in New York that apparently is well known as, you pay them off, they'll judge anything for you. They'll find a reason as to why you're right. So apparently there was one guy who, the name, that basin, I don't know how it still exists, but regardless, they have that name for them. So a person was taken to that court for, it was a large, you know, a large amount of money that he was getting, I guess, sued for by another Jew. They went to that court. The guy had heard it. He heard that, you know, they give to the highest bidder and that whatever it was. So he said, I'm not going to give them any money whatsoever. And he lost the case really, really badly. He lost the whole thing. I don't know. That was the part that was a little bit questionable. But then he went back to them and said to them, went to the judges and said, you know, I'm willing to give you X amount of money. And they were saying, oh, then we'll bring back the case. We'll look at it again. And that's when he realized, and he told another Bazin about this, and apparently got them in trouble. I don't have details on this. In 2004, when
if
I heard this story,
they signed an arbitration agreement, and they were caught on tape selling bribes. They can
probably, if it was on tape.
I mean, well, he has a witness.
He could have a witness. I don't know what happened. To be honest with you, it's secondhand information. Did not get it from first. You know, the person in charge was the son of the guy who ended up going to that Bazin. Remember the guy telling me that story? He was like, came in, and he's like, he's really upset that this is what happened to his father. I was like, unfortunately, there are places like that. Therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the strong one of Israel, Hoy Kiri. I like that. That's actually really cool. And Nachem Mitzorai, I will be consoled for my enemies. I will be revenge of my enemies. I will put my hand upon you, and then I will refine you of all your impurities, and I will remove all the bad ones from among you. I will return your judges like in the beginning. That's Hashiva Shoftecha, right? It says, Kvatchila, and your advisors as it was. And then it will be known again as the ear, the city of righteousness, Kiryat Amana, as the believed city, the faithful city. Through judgment, they will be redeemed. And those who return it with tzedakah. Notice something, by the way, out of all these sins that we mentioned, we have not mentioned Avodah Zarah. He didn't say that specifically. That was the problem of Bnei Yisrael at the time. Could be it wasn't. Could be at the time that wasn't their issue. But it was Bein Adam L'Chaveiro that was really getting them. The Shever Poshim.
Yeah. Throughout history, though, I mean, Hashem lets. And it really only takes action against the group that doesn't do well in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the Mabul.
Or a Flugga?
He didn't destroy them.
Okay,
He just dispersed them. Though. He dispersed them. He's like, they weren't doing well together. They weren't
Sodom and Amora, you're saying.
Sodom and Amora was the ultimate of like...
Ryan technically, Amalek technically. All these are Bein Adam L'Chaveiro issues as opposed to not believing in God. God doesn't punish...
If society can live together and work well together and be peaceful, then...
So to speak. So in other words, God is not punishing the Christians, the Hindus, the Muslims, you know, anybody that's not, you know, believing in whatsoever. He's not even killing those. The Shever Poshim B'Chatoim Yasov. Okay, the sinners, you know, whether wantonly or accidentally, right, Shever Yasov, they'll be broken together. Ozi Hashem Yichlu, the forsakers of God, those who forsake God, they will be destroyed. Kevoshu Me'elim Asher Chamanatem. You will be shamed from the trees which you crave. And I think that's the Elim referring to the what's it called?
Asher.
The Asherah trees. The Sakru Me'aganos Asher B'Chatoim. You will be disgraced by the gardens that you chose. Maybe that's not referring to that charity. Maybe it's just referring to, like, you know, the riches that you've had. You know, the stuff that you really desired, all that money. You will be like an oak whose trees novellas Allah, where the trees aleha, where the leaves have wilted. Or like a garden which has absolutely no water. All the mighty ones will be like garbage. Right? Everything they do, they're making. Will be like a spark of Arushnam Yakta that will burn together in Mechabed. Nobody will be able to extinguish it. In other words, the evil will sort of, so to speak, consume themselves. They will destroy themselves, and I won't even have to really be involved. Says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's what's going to happen. Okay, that's the first thing. That's the first Nebu of Yeshaya ben Amos. This obviously is referring to a warning to Bnei Yisrael. We don't know when it was given. We have no idea when it was given, but most probably it wasn't the first Nebu that Yeshaya had. Now, normally we don't have these things in order. It just was, this was a nevuah. Now here we go. Hadavar Shechazi Yishai ben Amot, Yehuda Bishlan. Parak Beis starts off with the vision that Yishai ben Amot saw when he, concerning Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Now, he's going to show them a vision. It's going to be harsh, but it's going to be a little bit different in that it's going to be a little bit of consolation together with all this stuff. So here's what it says. In the end of days, there will be, the mountain of the house of God will be firm at the tops of all the mountains. It will be higher than all the other hills. And all the nations will come to it. Mankind will get rid of everything else and they'll come and join with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Obviously, this is referring to the times of Mashiach. Okay, so this is referring to Mashiach. What are you going to say, Dave?
I was going to ask, what did Afri Hayamim actually refer to?
Yeah, Mashiach. It's referring to these days. The whole Kuamim Rakim, the many nations will go. The Amru Lakumin Alo Harashem, let's go up to the mountain of God, Obeis El Hayakov, to the house of the God of Jacob. The Oredim Yidwakov, he'll teach us of his ways, and Neil Kaborkos will go in his footsteps, or whatever his paths. Kimit Zion Tete Tero Divar Hashem Yerushalayim, because from Zion will come out the Torah, the word of God will come out from Yerushalayim. They're going to try to learn. All the nations of the world will want to learn, because they all know that God is the true God. Shabbat Bina Goyim. Yes, 100%. The Shabbat Bina Goyim. God will judge between those nations. And during that time, he's going to rebuke many different nations. At that time, they're going to turn all of their swords into plowshares. All their spears will turn into pruning shears. Is another song. Each nation will no longer carry swords against themselves. No longer will anyone learn the art of war. That'll put a lot more money in the system. You know, GDP for everybody to be able to have enough money to be able to do whatever they want. You take away,
we'll do all the nukes,
all those types of things, everything like that. I mean, you won't have to worry about anything. Then there's a lot more, and then you don't have to worry because most wars come from, you know, the fact that everybody, I want this, no, I want that, I want this. But with Mashiach here, you don't have to worry about that. Every nation will get the rebuke. Shem will say to them, no, you don't deserve that. And then everything will be done. Beis Yaakov lechu v'neilecho, Ne'okob or Hashem. House of Yaakov, let's all go together in the house, in the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to beg the Jewish people to lead the way, which is going to be very embarrassing if we don't know how to lead the way. for those Jews who have no idea what they're doing, it's going to be very embarrassing for the other nations of the world to come along and say, hey, lead us. And they're just like, I got me.
Yeah, but the Jews don't necessarily lead in terms of like, you know, oh, this is how you keep Shabbos, this is how you keep kosher. I mean, let's look at
lead how to find the way to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tell us about the Torah.
Right, but there's ways to serving Hashem that are not necessarily through...
Okay, I hear you. Yeah, I know.
How many Jews have been very well accomplished in matters of Benet HaMachavera or, you know, scientific advancements or whatever it is that really does kind of lead the way for many people towards some sort of good?
I guess so. You'd have to find a way for it.
Whether it's being chesed
or something. Finding God. That really is what I'd be looking for. Once in a while.
No, right. What are you saying?
Yeah. No, I guess it is the way I think it more is the way to find God. And that's going to be embarrassing for a lot of people that don't know. That's how the Niyam always looks at it, that it's going to be embarrassing for certain people. Then it posits both, yeah.
Didn't we discuss this morning that anytime it says Beis Yaakov, it always does refer to the women?
Now, we do know that Beis Yaakov refers to women. That's true. It could also be referring to the weakest link, so to speak. And that's okay. They're fine, I'm sure. There are girls that listen to this. It's fine. Kinatasha Amcha Beis Yaakov. They should know. Kinatasha Amcha Beis Yaakov. Because you have forsaken your people. Kimolu Mikadem. Right? They have become more full. And this is the idea. The idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've given up, so to speak. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jewish people themselves, the reason why they had Gentile persecution, in other words, the reason why there's been such things, is because they were filled with Mikadem from the beginning. They were filled with Onanim. Right, all these like magicians and whatever it is, right, like the Plishtim, right, and like the children of non-Jews, Yaspiku, they are perfectly fine with. They say like, oh, we'll do what they tell us to do. Batimali arzo ketzavizov, you filled their land with silver and gold. Ein ketzelotzrosov, there was no end to their treasures. Batimali arzo susim ein ketzelamakavosov, you filled the land with horses. There was no end to their chariots. Maybe this is referring to the times of Shlomo Malach or things like that, but to only Arto Elilim, and because of that, their land became filled with idols. L'maizia the Yishtachu, they bowed down to their handiwork, L'asher also exposed up things that their own fingers made. That's what ended up happening. So you degrade people, degrade their humanness by, I guess, by giving into all their monies and their desires. Plus, cut. But Yishach Adam Yishbal Ish, all men became bent and humbled. The Altisa Lahem, right? He will be, but do not forgive them in that state. Bo batzur v'tamim ba'afer. Go hide in the rocks. Go hide yourself in the ground. In awe of God and the glory of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the plan is to bring Mashiach and for everything to be all good. But the reason why that's not happening is because people have too much pride from their own money. They make money and they think it's mine. I did it and I did everything. And this is what it leads to. Eine gavus adam shafel. The haughty eyes of man will be lowered. Shach ruma nashim, the highness that people get, right, will be lowered down. On that day, God will be alone. Yom l'Hashem tzvokos al kol ge'av aram. There will be a day for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everybody that is guided and too haughty, v'akol nitz v'shafel, right, and everybody is high will be lowered down. V'akol arzei Lebanon aramim, and all the cedars of the Lebanon that consider themselves so great, v'anisayim v'akol aloni habashan, and all the oak trees of the Bashan, v'akol aharim aramim, and all the high mountains, v'akol atos anisos, and all the high hills, v'akol migdal gavoh, and every big tower, v'akol chom ha'betzurah, and every fortified wall, v'akol anios tarshish, and all the ships of tarshish, v'akol shechios hakamda, and all the marble halls. This shach gavus adam, he will knock down the gaiva man, the shuffle room, and ashram nitzkash, and levadavi amahu. Everything will be knocked down, I guess. I don't know. But the idea is that there will be people who think of themselves as greater than anybody else, who have tremendous handiwork, that are able to make buildings and everything that's unbelievably great. And they'll say, oh, we can do all this, and we can do everything, we have the ability, etc. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will knock it all down in one day with one little thing. An example, obviously, this is just an example. You know, the original owner, the original person who designed the Twin Towers was a Jew. the original designer. I forgot the name. It's in a book that I just read. But they interviewed him afterward, and they said, did you ever think that these were going to come down, that these towers are going to come down? So the guy said, truthfully, he said, listen, you know, obviously everything that's built is going to come down. But we did imagine and assume that these buildings were like the apex of architecture, and that because they were built so solidly, it wouldn't be possible in normal ways for these things to come down. There are no earthquakes in New York. No storm was going to be able to take it down. In normal fashion, nothing would knock down the Twin Towers. It wasn't going to happen. And in that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can do anything. And he did it through the Arabs or whatever it is to knock it down. The Titanic, there was nothing like the Titanic, right? Nothing will sink the Titanic. The ship that even God can't sink. Is that the wording that they used originally? We got the wording. It's the ship that even, originally, the Titanic was known as the ship that even God couldn't sink. That was what they called it. It was something like that. It was a news article that went all the way before there. But it did. It went down. It was destroyed. And it's maiden voyage. You know, he's like, you get these things where HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to humble us. And hopefully it'll never happen. But like when people start priding themselves, I just saw that the Trump Tower downtown has huge, have you seen the huge letters? Huge letters, Trump, on the Trump Tower. At some point, that guy that has to be taken down. That guy that has to be knocked down.
I mean, there was, he has Trump Tower in every city, so he has a name, and it's like, it's more of a, I mean,
it is.
Sure, guy, but
it's a guy that they can assemble.
But it's also like marketing.
Yeah, no, there's no question. But it's not like anybody didn't know, oh, what's that tower? Oh, I got it. It's Trump. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the concept of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to humble, and hopefully it won't have to happen through HaKadosh Baruch Hu knocking down the buildings or destroying the ships or by whatever it is. But that's really what's going on here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure that those people who think that they created things, Hashem will say, no. You'll see that I can knock everything down in a second.
Yeah, but there's a difference between Titanic and the Twin Towers. The Titanic hit an iceberg. The Twin Towers brought down by hijackers. So
I hear what you're saying.
They have free will to go
in. I'm going to say on that in both cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was directly involved. I know what you're saying. Well, wait, isn't there Bechira when it comes to the Twin Towers? I hear that. And I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't use it for that. For the lesson over here, let's say that those Arabs were... HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulated the system to allow those Arabs to do what they did so that they were able to destroy the Twin Towers. There have been other plans that haven't gone into fruition. This one worked. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that. Wait, there was a fourth plane, right? It was supposed to be in... That was supposed to be White House or something like that. There was whatever it was. That didn't go. Something wasn't hit. You know what I'm saying? The Pentagon was hit. The Twin Towers were hit. And that one that was crashed, right, because of the people in there, that was going somewhere. So what was that? Going to be. Something wasn't destroyed. Let's call it that way. Yes, there was Bechira, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu still made a decision what was going to happen and what wasn't. I call it that way. I don't know. I'm not good with the Bechira stuff. That's not my forte. Anyway, Pasuk Yechatz. V'alilim Khalil Yachalot. At that point, all other idols will completely disappear. Ubo b'ma'aros tsurim. Right? Their makers will go hide in caves of rocks, and b'mechilos afor, and tunnels of dirt. Because they're afraid of God. When he comes and destroys the land, call it that way, bunkers. All people will be in bunkers and bomb shelters. I'll call it something like that. Hiding from the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying that land. At that point, the people will destroy their silver and gold idols, which mean nothing anymore. Society is gone. This is silver and gold that they collected and that they held in such high esteem are going to be thrown to the ground. Instead, they're going to go down into holes filled with bats and rats and all this disgusting stuff, right, to be able to hide something, to be able to eat something. Levo b'nikros atzurim, to go into the clefts of the rocks, to be sifei aslaim, and inside the mountains, when he comes and destroys and rules over the entire land, no matter where they are, they won't be able to do anything else. Chivu v'chamina adam, abandon man, right, asher neshama b'apo, who is in neshama in his mouth, kibaman nechshavu, because abandon that man, everything that you have, because what are you worth? Honestly, what are you worth? What do you really have in this world? Do you really think that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings it out that something's going to happen? So again, this is the nevuah of what's going to happen. It is a bad nevuah, but it comes with a little bit of consolation, says Yeshaya. I'm telling you Mashiach will come and everything will be okay. But I will also tell you that there is going to be a time where if you don't work on your gaiva, if you don't do it yourselves, God is going to knock it down for you.
Also, negative nevuah can be changed anyway.
Well, that's true, but this has like consolation within the nevuah. You started with consolation, and then told them this is what's going to be. And that's scary. That really can be used for our world and to translate it into the world that we're living in today. Now, Parak Yud. This is sort of a continuation. God is going to remove from Yerushalayim all supports. All support of food, all support of water. Meaning, any nations that they rely upon and say, we need you to be able to help us, and any nation in which they're promising us money or anything like that, that will no longer exist. When the arrogance has reached the national level and the leaders have that and they say, yeah, we'll be fine. We have a great army. We rely on other nations. If we need anything, I'm sure we're going to get more planes or more bombs or more this or more that from anybody else. If anything happens, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu will humble the nation. The nation has to be humble to realize that no, you can only rely on God and not rely on anything else. All leaders are going to disappear. There will be no one that you can rely on whatsoever. Everybody will be gone. Gibor v'ishmo chama shofi v'navi v'kosim v'zalkin. The strong man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, even the magician, as well as the elders. Sar Kamishim and his supponent, the officers of 50, as well as the people who are, you know, who are, what's the supponent? How would you say that? The counselor? No, it says the venerable. What's the venerable? People that are venerable are very hush of a guys. Yoitz are advisors. Chakam Karoshim, very smart people, and Nevon Nochash, the people who understand, you know, different things as well. They usually say Chakam Karoshim, Nevon Nochash refers to people that learn Torah. Yeah.
You say that not on an exact scale or example, but the Holocaust.
In a way where everybody was gone.
Nobody was
literally
there.
Destroyed everything.
They had nowhere to call.
And you had no leaders, no one to turn to. When Asatina Arm Saram, I will make young people as their officers, and the foxes, the people who are tricky, those are the rulers over everybody. The people will approach each man to the other, each man to their friend. The young men will make fun of. They'll make fun of the older men. And the very shameful people will make fun of the people that deserve the honor. That's what's going to get over here. Now, each one is that each role that they'll have is going to be reversed. And the wrong people will be in charge. Each one will grab hold of their brother, base of it, that are from their father's house. And they'll say, oh, you've got a shirt. You deserve to be our leader. Just by having a really nice shirt. Oh, is that a Brooks Brothers? Oh, you're my guy. You're my guy.
Celebrities.
That's that. This stumbling block, right? Everything that we need to do will be under your hand. You'll be the leader. You'll be the one in charge. And that guy will swear to lift up his hand on that day saying, I can't be a leader, right? How can I be a leader when in my house I have no bread, I have no real shirts? You can't appoint me as a social officer. You know how bad that is? Everybody else is like, oh, you be the leader. And the guy's like, no. He doesn't even want to be the leader.
Because he has a shirt on, he's got money.
He looks cautious.
The situation is so dire that nobody's got anything.
Exactly, and that's that. Just a nice garment, only that, and a relative, something like that. It's going to be so shameful. But even himself, he sits there and he's like, you can't make me the leader. I know nothing. I know absolutely nothing. So to speak, the way the Gemara translates this Gemara is that we'll be looking for rabbis who literally know no halacha, but they look good and they sound good. They know how to speak, they know how to this, and they know how to that, but they don't know halacha b'chol. Those are the people who say, oh, you should be our leader. And they're just like, whoa, I can't. I'm not that guy. I don't know enough halacha to be able to do that. Because Yerushalayim has stumbled. Yehuda has fallen. Because their tongue and all of their rebelliousness or whatever their deeds is rebelling against God, against the eyes, his honorable eyes. Hakaris hakoras peneim onsabon. Their facial features answer that. The chatosim kistomi hidu. And their sins, they can admit that they were like Sodom. They will not hold back. Woe to those souls at the end of time, because it's going to be really, really bad for them. So that's what's going to be over there. Now, you should know, by the way, they learn from this pasuk that people will lose the godly images on their faces, and they're going to start looking like animals. You ever see a guy who looks like his dog? Guy walking his dog and they end up looking like it. I see it all the time. People walking their dogs and they look exactly like their dogs. Yeah, it's scary. It's really, really scary.
That's a movie, basically, they call them bastards.
Okay. There are people that look literally exactly like them. Exactly like them. And it's unbelievable. But regardless, that's what's going to be. You're going to start looking more like animals than you will like human beings. You no longer will have those facial features. It'll be that way. Imu Tadikito. Animal Farm, right? The pigs.
Yeah.
The pigs. I haven't read that in a long, long time. The pigs and the dogs. The pigs and the dogs are the ones that start to look. The dogs were the ones that, remember, you raised the dogs.
Right, but in the last page, you cannot tell the difference between
the pigs and the people.
Right.
Right, because they were wearing their whatever it was. That's all you could do. They all look like human beings, right. Imru Tzadik Ki Tov. Say out that the Tzadik, that he is good. Ki Pri Malayim Yochelu. They will eat the fruits of their own actions. Oyla Rosh Ra, Ki Gamol Yad V'Yasalo. Woe to the evil, wicked one, right? Because he will also eat from his own actions. Ami Noksav, my people. Noksav Me'olel, the oppressors are doing pranks. Nashim Mashlubo, it doesn't get worse than that. The women rule over them. Me'ashrecha Mas'im. Ami, my people. Me'ashrecha Mas'im. Your leaders are misleading you. V'derek Archosecha Bileu, and they're destroying the ways of your path. This is good. He bemoans, meaning that the people's false leaders, it's going to be an oppressive police state. The way that Egypt was for a while with the Muslim Brotherhood before what's his name just took over?
Yeah,
Sisi, that's his name? Right, after Murabak, but before Sisi got up, right? The way it was. I mean, it couldn't be worse, the police state. And it was amazing how Sisi ended up becoming in charge. Like, he told them, I'm on your side, everything should be good, whatever it was. And as soon as he came later, he's like, you guys are all outlawed. Destroyed all of them. It's awesome. That's exactly what it should be. But that's what it is. You're going to have so many things that, and this, the woman ruling over you is not that women will be leaders. It's that people will do anything they can to be together with Zonas. That the Zonas will rule the day. They're the ones who are going to make the decisions because everybody is, basically
in exchange for
exactly, exactly. They're willing to do anything for that. And there's going to be other people that are just going to destroy everything. Nitzav L'Riv Hashem, God stands ready to fight. The Omid L'Dinamim, and He's ready to judge the nations. Okay, Hashem b'mishpat yavun ziknei amo v'sarov. He will bring to justice, right, the elders of the people and their leaders. Atem bi'ardem akerem gizelas ani v'vateichem. You have destroyed the vineyards. You stole from the poor people, and it's in your house. Malachem tidaku ami. Why are you destroying my nation? Upnei aniim titchanu, and you're crushing the faces of the poor. Ne'um Hashem elokim tzvakos, says God, the God of all hosts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for that time. He's waiting to be able to go around, and he's going to blame the leaders. Those leaders, the young men who eventually grew up to be older people, etc., he tells them, you are unjust, you did the things wrong, and they're the ones that are going to be punished. Because they were Gaibedik, the daughter of Sion, because they walked with outstretched necks, from the chakras and I am winking their eyes, going and tapping their feet on the ground. That's how they walk with their feet angering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says that they used to wear types of perfume in the midst, even though their parents wouldn't allow them to walk outside wearing these perfumes or whatever it was. They would walk in the street with perfume in their feet and then step on the ground and their perfume would be wafting up, that the smell would be smelled by the people around them, right? And that smell would be there. What do you got?
Can we talk about this for a second? The way the Korean Sea works?
It depends on the Marie Kara and everything like that. Yeah, Malachem in the pasuk over here.
As opposed to the way it's written, it's a different word.
Malcolm Tidaku Ami, right? Their kings will destroy my nation. And I don't know how those things work, unfortunately, unless the Malachem goes into it. And I don't think anybody here talks about it either. Usually these things are kept over here.
Rashi doesn't come on Malachem.
Yeah, come on Malachem. That's how we read it. They don't talk about this. I don't know. We'd have to find somebody that really speaks about these types of things. Korean Ksiv. Ksava Kabbalah in the Torah, but we don't have that in Navi. Either way, but they go through.
Ezra actually gives a grammatical reason.
Yeah, he says, thought of that.
The word mazeh is a combination of ma and zeh, and he said it's the same thing here. It's just
malachem. Okay. So that'll be that, but that doesn't explain your answer. Yeah, it's not your answer. That's just like, that's the grammatical answer. Either way, but it says, v'sipach adun Hashem kodkod b'nosion Hashem poshein yareh. Hashem is going to smite their foreheads with leprosy and expose all of their lower parts. That's what's going to happen from them. Midah Kenegamitha. If they wanted to reveal their parts to everybody and show off their brazenness, etc., so HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets them show off their brazenness, gives them the tzaras, and allows them to be disgraced, completely bearing an amount. In other words, you're going to lose all your clothing, right, while you're in the midst of whatever it was. And instead of giving yourself yourselves up to young men in Yerushalayim. You're going to give yourselves up to the army who's coming in to destroy you. And that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to remove the beauty of the shoes, the hairnet, and the crescent-shaped pendants. And the tipos v'asheros v'aralos, I don't know what these are. They are the dangling necklaces, the wristlets, and the veils. I'm just reading the two. Ha'pe'erim v'atzaodos v'akishurim, uvotei nefesh v'alachoshim, ha'tabos v'nizme'af, ha'machalotos v'matofos v'amipokos v'acharitin, ha'gilyonim v'asidinim v'atznipos v'aradidim. Okay, so that's that. So let's do what these are. They are the fancy hats, the hip bracelets, the hairbands, the breastpins, the earrings, the rings, the nose rings, the fancy blouses, the dresses, the kerchiefs, and the purses, the mirrors, the linen robes, the turbans, and the scarves.
And they were dressed up.
Isn't it scarves? All right, anyway. V'yatachat bosem makiyah. Instead of having, you know, spices or, like, you know, regular stuff to put on.
Perfume.
Instead, yeah, now they're going to have mak. Mak is, what is that? Rot. Tachat chagora, instead of the belt, nikva. There's going to be wounds. Tachat masa miksha, instead of having the handiwork, you know, the nice stuff, korcha, they'll be bald. Tachat psigil, machgorasak, instead of the really nice belts, they'll have sackcloth. Kisakas yofi, that all will be instead of their beauty. Misayach bacharav yipolu v'rasech v'nochama, your dead will fall by the sword, your strongest ones will fall in the middle of the war itself. That's the idea. Midikanegamita, again, you use that for adultery, you use that for sleeping around with other people, that's what's going to be your punishment. You'll have terrible things and you'll look terrible and you'll lose all of your beauty. They're going to wail, they're going to mourn in their doorways, and she's going to be barren. She will sit on the ground by herself, that it'll be literally Tisha B'Av. That's going to be the idea of what's going to happen over here. Now these women, it's continuing now. Again, still a continuation of Perek Yimel. We're talking about the women that used themselves, and used themselves, and obviously gave themselves up. So they're the ones who are being punished right now. Perek Dal Pasagal, Zikhu Sheva Nashim Isha Bud. Seven women will grab onto one man, Ayoma Ulema, on that day saying, Lachminu no kill, we'll eat our own bread. Simla Sinu no bush, we'll wear our own clothing. Raki Korishim Kalenu Asok Kerpasenu. Just call your name upon us, marry us, and gather in our degradation. Because those who were married were not abused by the captors. But those who were not married were abused over and over and over again. So they said, just let us be married, and then they won't abuse us as much.
You see that in Arab countries, Eska David Ben Abu. He told you on Shabbos that his grandmother got married at 11. Yeah. I think the reason was that they would get married so young because the Arabs would not touch married women. So they would marry them off as soon as they possibly
could. So that's what they do. So literally, that was the idea of what was happening over there.
Also,
that's the idea. By the way, this is tshuva for them. They were promiscuous and going out and saying we want to be with whoever it is. Now they were saying we don't want to be with anyone. Just allow us to just be considered married to you. We don't want to be with anyone whatsoever. Yeah.
So I was learning more in Yevamos, and it said that women, they prefer not just, there was different opinions over that's better to be married than to be single. And there's one opinion that says that the woman just wants the name of being married.
That's enough. She would rather be the married woman to the plowshare or whatever it is, rather than be single. Pasuk Beis. On that day, the growth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be litzvi, which I'm just saying is beauty. You can use that as however you want. Ula kavod, and honorable, right? Upriya arz v'gaon l'tzitharis v'tzleitas Yisrael. That will be, the greatest stuff will be given over to the remnants of Bnei Yisrael. On that day, right, when all the false beauty is gone and all the fakers are out and whatever it is, that's when Mashiach will come back, and that's when all the beauty will be given to those people. Plus a gimel. V'ayanishar b'tzion, those who remain in tzion, v'anosim rishon, those who remain in Yerushalayim, kadoshi amerlo, they will be called kadosh. Kol ha'kasu l'chaim Yerushalayim, anybody who is written for life in Yerushalayim, some say that refers to tchiyas ha'mesim. Those that will be given tchiyas ha'mesim in Yerushalayim, they say that Yerushalayim will get tchiyas ha'mesim first. I know some say that comes from Tzfas. Either way, regardless. Im rochat Hashem et tzoas benosim, just like God washed the dirtiness off the benosim as the mei Yerushalayim and the blood of Yerushalayim, yadiyak mikir bo, he will rinse it away from it. The ruach mishpat v'ruach ba'er, there will be a spirit of justice and a spirit of purging that goes throughout the entire land. That suffering will be completely gone. They will be purged of all their evil that's around them. Uvor Hashem al kol makon har tzion, then God will allow to be created on all the places of har tzion, ba'al mikra echa, and all those who call up to her. Anan yomam, a cloud by day, v'ashan, v'noga eshla v'alayla, and a smoke and a pillar of fire that goes at night, Kalkol Kavod Kupa. On each area, there will be a separate kupa. And that was what the tzaddikim will be there, and that obviously is a reference to something that's going to be in the future that we don't fully understand. I don't know what that means. But in the future, that's what every person will have. An ish, an anan, something. The sukkah tiyah letzel yomam. A sukkah, alright. Should be for shade for them by day. Mechorev of the heat. They say that sukkah will be made of the levyasam skin. Mechorev from the heat. Ulamachze, and for protection. Ulamistor, and to cover them up. Mizerem umimutter, from all the torrential rains and from the rain that comes about them. And thus they will be free to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any distractions, without any needs to do anything. Financial problems, health problems, anything like that. That's what's going to be for Klal Yisrael. That's Dan of Parak Dalet. And now, we're going to sing about something. If I remember correctly, this is going to be a massive mushel. How long is this? Can we finish it? I don't know if we're going to be able to finish it. What do you think? Should we start it or no?
We only have 4 minutes.
I don't want to run what we're going to do. All right, let's stop with this for right now. We're stopping with Parakeh. We'll go to Parakeh later. All right,